On today's episode, we are talking WrestleMania. We are on the road to WrestleMania. Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, they went face to face. We talk about the fallout from that, as well as Jade Cargill. She has signed to SmackDown just before WrestleMania. Are there WrestleMania plans brewing for Jade Cargill? And of course, we'll go over to AEW. We'll talk about the great work Kazuchika Okada is doing in the early days of his AEW career. And Jack Perry, the man that asked for his release, and it was denied. We're going to get into all of it in just a second, so stay tuned. This is the WrestleManiac UK show. Let's go. What's up, people? It's your boy Mex, the WrestleManiac, if you will. Back again with another podcast episode for you. Hope you are well. Hope you are doing very, very well indeed, because, you know, WrestleMania is around the corner. And I don't care if you don't watch WWE, right? Because when it's WrestleMania season, you know the energy is different. No matter what you watch, the energy is different. Because maybe even your favorite show is going to put on a show in the city that WrestleMania is happening. So WrestleMania season is always popping, whether you are a WWE fan or not. Even if you're a big hater, come over here and watch what's going to happen. Criticize it if you must. But yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. WrestleMania for me means that it's time to jump on a plane. I'm lucky enough to get in a plane to go over to Philadelphia to watch it, see how that whole weekend is going to, you know, kind of come to fruition and things are going to kind of come together. I'm looking forward to it. It means that, you know, I can take time off work, which is great as well. So I'm not someone that takes a lot of like holidays and things like that. So being able to take time off work, yeah, man, it gets me excited, especially for WrestleMania. But like I said, there's been a lot of kind of steps again down the road of WrestleMania, which we'll start with today, more so than the AEW stuff. We tend to talk a lot about the AEW bits on this podcast. It feels that way to me. But we're going to start this week with WrestleMania, if that's all right with you lot, and the booking going in to WrestleMania. This past week on SmackDown, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, face-to-face. Yeah, that's what they build it as. These face-to-faces are usually, you know, talking segments. They're getting another kind of branch of the overall tree of this story across the line. Weird analogy, but just work with me. That's what it's supposed to do. Did Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes do that on this past week on SmackDown? I don't know. I don't really feel like the segment was kind of used to tell another bit of this story. I don't really feel like the story went up an echelon after this segment. And I don't know if I'm the only one feeling like this. Let me know down below in the comments if you felt like this as well. I just kind of felt like they just chatted. Roman Reigns kind of chastised Cody for being stupid enough to turn up to SmackDown on his own, on his ones. I guess alluding at the fact that he had walked into a trap. And I feel like at that point is when we should have seen Solo walk out and Jimmy walk out, and not so much when they eventually did. Cody Rhodes, there was just a lot of rebuttal into what, you know, the likes of Roman Reigns was saying. And Cody Rhodes had his Cody Avengers, as they're being called by the streets. You know, Seth Rollins, Jey Uso, them man were there in their black hoodies, because obviously Solo has, you know, let everyone know that you have to turn up in a black hoodie if you want to, you know, do like a sneak attack. So these guys all turned up. And then there was no confrontation. It was just Roman, Jimmy, Solo, one side of the thing, the wise man looking on, Paul Heyman. And then Cody Rhodes standing in the ring, Seth Rollins, Jey Uso on the ground looking over at the Bloodline guys. I just don't feel this really achieved something. I just don't feel this really achieved anything. So it was a bit of a disappointing segment, if I'm completely honest. To pull out some positives, I think Cody speaks well. Cody always looks good. He always puts his best foot forward. I thought it was really good to see Roman Reigns just kind of in his element again. And He doesn't have The Rock there, kind of stealing, hogging the spotlight. Whilst The Rock is good, don't get me wrong, I just feel like Roman is a lot more himself when The Rock's not there. What we've come to understand and come to learn about this current iteration of Roman Reigns, he's a lot more himself when The Rock isn't present. And I feel like we got that this past week. The swagger and the arrogance in parts came back. And I think he's been struggling over the last few weeks. I said that, you know, Roman is disappearing into the background of this story. And obviously it's because The Rock is here in the foreground doing concerts, doing iPhone promos and doing all that kind of stuff and really getting over with the fans. Like, this is no shade on The Rock. This is just his character and obviously what he's built up over the years that people just absolutely love him. Love to see him, love to get trashed by him and all that kind of stuff. Roman has just looked a bit out of place. And like a second wheel in this story. Like, I feel at some parts over the last few weeks, the last 3 weeks or so in particularly when The Rock has really been around, it's looked like we are building towards The Rock versus Cody Rhodes for this title. Which, to be honest, like, I wouldn't, obviously now this is down to The Rock situation and The Rock being physically ready and stuff. But The Rock versus Cody Rhodes on night one, to determine who goes on to night two, obviously it would have been Cody getting a win over The Rock. That's maybe probably how they should have done this, or at least an option. At least an option. And then this would have made sense with Roman being in a bit of, you know, he's in the background. He's obviously siding with The Rock still because that's family and family over everything. Did you see the new merch? I might need a hoodie. But I think that that would have made more sense. Roman being in the background, Cody Rhodes and The Rock are going at it. And then, yeah, it wouldn't leave a lot of time for Roman to come alive because that would have been the night before, you know, WrestleMania night one. But at least you would understand why Roman is so kind of nonchalant about the whole situation. So I'm really not sure if over the last few weeks, WWE have been booking Roman Reigns to the fullest. Like, are they getting this right with Roman? Especially if he is due to drop the title at this point. I think I would have liked to see one of two things from Roman Reigns at this point. One being like, how can I put this? One being like, he is threatening Cody Rhodes. You can see like Cody Rhodes is growing in confidence. He is, you know, becoming a bit worried, becoming a bit nervous that, you know, Cody has, you know, the backing of the fans. Cody has the backing of Seth Rollins. Cody has the backing of a Jey Uso, maybe even a Sami Zayn and all of these other characters. And obviously, Roman doesn't have that backing. I would have liked to see Roman either display a bit of fear here to really kind of sell that Cody's coming, Cody's on his way. Now, I know probably some of you are probably screaming at your screens thinking, Mex, what the hell are you talking about? You call yourself a Roman Reigns fan and you're saying that Roman should be scared of Cody Rhodes. Listen, if you are in that camp, I hear it. So the other extreme is that I feel like Roman should be on like a crazy run right now. Like, remember that promo he cut when he was facing Brock Lesnar? That's my cameraman. That's my commentating desk. These are my people. This is my ring. Like, the arrogance oozing from him, the confidence coming out of his pores, the absolute insanity of a madman that believes he owns everything and everything works on his time. That's the other way that we should be getting Roman right now. You know, some of you may not like this, but I may even have chucked in a couple of TV defenses of the title to say that, look, Roman's, you know, obviously we know his defenses numbers to how long he's held the title is not necessarily the greatest. He's held the title for, I think, just over 1,300 days now. He's defended that title 30-odd times. Yeah, probably not good enough. Probably not good enough. We could admit that. But I don't know about, you know, the stipulation or if there's any contractual stuff about Roman wrestling on TV, but I may have given him some TV defenses just to kind of, you know, keep him looking great getting into WrestleMania. Keep him looking like super arrogant. I'm just dismissing these guys. I'm beating everybody, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure they could have rustled up some guys for him to beat that. You know, well, I mean, he's not going to lose on TV, but at least at the same time, you know, he's looking strong, like he's looking crazy. So that it's like when Cody beats him, it's like he has beaten a final boss sort of thing. And I know that's what The Rock is running with right now, but let's just call it, for the sake of argument, a final boss. So yeah, Roman, I feel, should be being booked right now as like a crazy, maniacal, indestructible, unstoppable, arrogant machine. Or you book him nervous. Like, I don't know, like, this is crazy. You know, they've got the tag match, and, you know, if they win the tag match at WrestleMania night one, they get the Bloodline Rules match, right? Night two. And he should maybe even, in that nervousness, rallying the troops, like, guys, we have to do this. In the tag match, we have to get it done. When his Bloodline Rules will be on top, we'll, you know, hold off Cody Rhodes. I'll retain this title. The family keeps eating. Yeah. But in a nervous way, like making sure that he's kind of got the whole battalion ready. One extreme or the other. I don't know. Let me know like what you guys think, because honestly, I just feel Roman Reigns right now is just super passive, and Cody Rhodes is as well groomed and gentlemanly and everything that Cody Rhodes is and always is. He's just growing in confidence step by step. He doesn't have to do anything super crazy to like make a whole jump and a leap of confidence. He just has to keep doing what he's doing and ticking along nicely. And he will have his setback. He will probably lose and get pinned in that WrestleMania night one main event in the tag match. He probably will. But he, on the road to WrestleMania, where we see now on TV, he's just doing the right things, winning matches and going. Winning matches and going and saying the right things and getting the crowd invested in him. And I just feel right now Roman Reigns is too passive for my liking. This isn't the Roman Reigns that, you know, has held that title for 1,300 days. It's a shadow of the man. He's disappearing into the shadow, and Cody Rhodes is looking stronger and stronger as we walk towards that WrestleMania main event. This past week of SmackDown, Jade Cargill's name was mentioned. They said that Nicordis has been busy. I said to my TV, oh, what's Nicordis been doing? What's he been busy with? Because the last thing I heard, Nick Aldis banged up his hand. His hand was in a cast. And I was thinking exactly that. His whole hand down to his arm, you know, to his elbow was in a cast. And I was thinking, what has Nicordis been busy doing? Yeah. But they told us. Nick Aldis has been busy signing talent. Nick Aldis has signed Jade Cargill exclusively to the SmackDown brand. And of course, take exclusively with a pinch of salt, because nothing in WWE is exclusive. The brand split doesn't mean a damn thing. And I hope it does maybe the next time they do it. I'm being hopeful. But Jade Cargill is on SmackDown, people. Okay, I really don't know what to make of this. I thought if they are putting her straight on the main roster, surely she goes to Raw. Flagship show, you know, the one that a lot of people are going to tune in for every week without fail. Monday, 5 p.m., 8 p.m., 4 p.m., wherever you are in the world, 1 a.m., 12, whatever time. I thought that is where you put Jade Cargill. They put her on SmackDown, which surprises me a bit. But if I'm correct, which I think I am, SmackDown actually has higher viewership than Raw. So, in terms of eyes and stuff, like, it's good for Jade Cargill. It's good. I mean, the whole situation is good for Jade Cargill personally. People have always been saying, oh, where is she? Where is she? Where is she? Like, honestly, you can't rush her. They are clearly, or should I say, they were clearly concerned when she came in and they saw her do a bit of wrestling backstage, NXT, Performance Center, wherever it was. And they said, yeah, we need to strip her down in terms of her ability, nothing else. We need to strip her down and start again, you know, like get her to be a WWE superstar stylistically. And I don't think she was there. Now, I think they have made a song and a dance about it, and maybe as an opportunity to take a jibe at AEW, because in AEW, she wasn't that bad. You know, she could serve a good match, especially when in the ring with someone more experienced, she could definitely serve up a good match. So they just want her to be WWE ready, put her best foot forward. They made a big deal about her, so I don't see the issue in kind of wanting her to be, you know, very, very good. I don't see the issue with it at all, personally. Now, should she be on the main roster is the question. I thought that NXT would have been a good place for her, more so because she'll have time to learn. She may have opportunity to go on the Florida loop, the NXT kind of house shows sort of thing, to get more reps in. They are moving to the CW channel, I believe it's called, which I feel they would need some, you know, heavy name to be on the NXT show to help with the viewing numbers for that. I don't know what they're expecting or anything like that. I just thought from a business point of view that that would make sense, while she can still obviously get her reps in and be at the Performance Center. So they've opted against that, and they must feel she is in some type of position where she's ready to be on the main roster, which is great. It's great news. Like, it's really, really good for them to be confident right now that she's ready. And I say that because we've seen the likes of a, what's that boy called? Gable Steveson. That boy, Gable Steveson. They come and was doing Olympic this, Olympic that, signed to Raw. Even NXT, he wasn't having good matches. So I'm happy that they believe Jade is in a right place now, to that they can at least, you know, say that she's going to be on SmackDown. And of course, that doesn't preclude her from going back to the NXT and you know, going to Performance Center and doing some more work and stuff like that. She can do that. So yeah, I think this is good, man. I think this is really exciting news. But the timing of it is what we're going to talk about next. Because why have they said this? Why have they announced this about, what are we now, 2 weeks out from WrestleMania? Jade Cargill signing to SmackDown? Do they have plans to put Jade Cargill on the WrestleMania card is the question. There is an obvious place right now where she could potentially fit. If they do a Kabuki Warriors plus a Dakota Kai, so those damage control girls, against Bianca Belair and Naomi, and they will need a third person, a Jade Cargill, who has already had a run-in with damage control, particularly Io Sky. That's a good place to fit her in if that's why they are doing this. Yeah. A trios match on the WrestleMania card. Three beautiful black women up against the beautiful, dangerous champions, Dakota Kai, Kabuki Warriors as well. Like, I think it makes sense. Am I a fan of it? I don't know. I would have liked Jade Cargill, if they were going to kind of rush and put her into a WrestleMania match, for it to be a singles match. I think we could have done some good stuff with like a Nia Jax, who I don't know where she fits on the card right now, but Nia Jax definitely deserves to be on the card right now. It's going to be tricky to kind of see where else they put Jade Cargill, to be completely honest. Like, this makes sense. I mean, on the other side of things, I would argue, why are they putting Bianca Belair in a trios match at WrestleMania? Tiffany Stratton is right there. They even had Tiffany Stratton have a run-in again with Bianca Belair on SmackDown this past week. So, if that's how we're going to use Bianca Belair this year, I'll stomach it for this year sort of thing, but I think that's it's a dropped ball. But Jade Cargill being on WrestleMania, I thought she would be on WrestleMania, but maybe more so in like a backstage segment, some type of promotional positioning, placement. But it looks like they may, it's not confirmed, it looks like they may have plans for her to be on the Showcase of the Immortals, which is great. Imagine, you know, it's her first, going to be her, well, apart from the Royal Rumble, like a first real kind of match, a trios match. And then we'll wait for that singles match, which I know everyone's going to be looking forward to. So, yeah, if you think, you know, Jade Cargill's got a match at WrestleMania, let me know, man. Let me know, because I think if they're announcing her signing to the main roster, SmackDown particularly, before Mania, they probably have sights of getting her on the Mania card, and this seems like a pretty good place to put her. Now, excuse me if this becomes a bit ranty, yeah? I don't know if it's part of my brand. I don't know if it's part of Mex's brand to get a bit ranty. If it's part of the WrestleManiac UK brand, you know, we leave that to other creators in the community. But this really pissed me off. This really pissed me off when I saw this. Bill Goldberg, right? Bill Goldberg was on a podcast this past week, and he's still airing his frustrations about WWE and maybe how they treated him and his non-retirement match that he didn't get and stuff like that. Okay, I hear it. Cool. Bill Goldberg goes on to bring a kayfabe streak to life. Pathetic, if you ask me. But Bill Goldberg is out here saying to these guys, yeah, oh, they beat my streak. As in the WWE fed his streak to someone else. He's saying basically that he doesn't have anything else. Like, this is all he has. The streak. To his name. And they gave it away to some girl. Some Japanese girl called Asuka. Bro, get the hell out of here, man. Bro, are you serious? You are whining about a kayfabe streak. After all, didn't people tell you that, okay, I'm gonna do the job for you tonight, I'm gonna lay down, you're gonna pin me, etc, etc? This wasn't really you running through human beings. Are you aware of that? So to complain that you lost the streak is stupid. It's very, very silly. Like, do better. Honestly, do better. Like, I was very annoyed he complained about this. And not only did he complain about this, like I said, he called out Asuka, which I thought was very, very snaky. I remember when Asuka, you know, all those years ago, was it NXT times? 6-7 years ago, maybe. Asuka obviously bettered the streak. And Bill Goldberg congratulated her online. He congratulated her on Twitter. And Asuka shouted him out when she beat the streak. And he congratulated her. Obviously fake. Obviously a fake congratulations, bro. Because you're not happy for her and all of that thing that you said. You're flipping jealous, bro. Like, put a sock in it, bro. You weren't even that good. You weren't even that good. Asuka is like the best treated Japanese talent this company has ever seen. Honestly, in terms of accolades, in terms of booking, Asuka is flying the flag. And you, I don't know if it's misogyny, it's like sprinkled with a bit of like racism, and I'm not calling Goldberg a racist, but it's sprinkled with a bit of Like, there's a bit of a stench to it. You get me? Like, I lost to some girl. Some Japanese girl called Asuka. Bro, do better. Like, that absolutely stinks. And I used to think Goldberg was one of the good guys. I know he hasn't always been a great wrestler, but at least as a human being, wasn't that his whole thing when he came back to WWE 2015 or whatever? Because he wants to be a superhero for his son. Do you remember that? I believed that that was a thing. And now you're here doing up some Japanese girl called Asuka. Poor man. Very poor. Like, this is the latest example in one of these old-timey guys not getting it, not moving with the times, not moving with the business, showing their age, showing their stupidity. I'm really embarrassed for Bill Goldberg. Generally, like I said, always been one of my favorites. I'm not stupid. I knew that, you know, a lot of Bill Goldberg is smoke and mirrors and dressed up well. But as a child, Bill Goldberg was once someone I looked forward to watching. And he has really embarrassed himself with that statement over, you know, the past week or so when he said that. I'm hoping that, to be honest, I don't even want him to say sorry to Asuka. Like, just leave it. Asuka's doing bigger and better things. Asuka's having the matches he could only dream he could have. Like, this is someone that just never had it at all. Like I said, smoke and mirrors. Injured Bret Hart. Bret Hart could have probably got another 10 years, 15 years out of his career if it wasn't for Bill Goldberg. So yeah, I'm really disappointed with Bill Goldberg. He really should have done better here. Should have known better, should have done better. Keep his mouth quiet. Your beef is with WWE. It's not with Asuka. Calling out things like they took your streak. Stop embarrassing yourself, bro. Do better. Everywhere he goes, this man wins gold. You know who I'm talking about. The Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada. It's taken him, what, the best part of 3 weeks to become a champion in AEW? He won the Continental Crown title from Eddie Kingston over the past week or so. It's needed. It's necessary. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, the minute that program was being set up, like, you thought it would be AEW Dynasty. The match, they said it was going to be on Dynamite. I was like, oh, okay. But I thought, schmoz. Schmozzy finish. We'll find a way out of this. Nope. We're not finding a way out of it. We're doing it right here. Right now. We are doing, Okada is going over Eddie Kingston with a bit of shenanigans, a bit of, you know, nefarious means. But it fits into his character right now. Kazuchika Okada beat Eddie Kingston for the Continental Crown title. Now, it wasn't a barn burner or anything like that. Standard match, I thought was fine. Eddie Kingston and them jogging trousers he was wearing. Not for me, personally, yeah? Not for me. But I think that it was needed because this Triple Crown as a whole, I don't know what it means. I don't really get it. I don't know what it means. I think TK, Tony Khan, realized he's overcomplicated it. Let's put it that way. And he came out this past week and has now put some new rules around the Continental Crown title and everything like that, which is fine. You know, I think he said the rule will be whoever is champion by full gear will go into the Continental Classic tournament as champion, but they'll have to basically defend their title within that tournament sort of thing. So I think that's cool. I think that's fine. But this is what the title needed. Eddie Kingston, I don't know. I can't remember how many defenses or anything like that he had along the way. A couple, definitely a couple, but it was mid-carders, if I can say that respectfully. I remember a Trent Barretta and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, this isn't giving continental classic. I saw 12 man scrap it out over several weeks for this title. And now you're giving me, respectfully, Trent Barretta. And I mean that with the utmost respect, because I think Trent Barretta is a class act. I think he's a class act, a fantastic tag team wrestler. But I didn't come here for Eddie Kingston versus Trent Barretta. I came here for Eddie Kingston versus some of the men that were in the Continental Classic, you know? So I think that we needed to get this title. Either keep it on Eddie and give him some big defenses against big names, or get this title onto someone that we all deem a bit more serious, a bit more of that, you know, traditional big name that raises the profile of a title, especially when we're trying to establish the title. So I'm happy that Kazuchika Okada is now the Continental Classic or Continental Crown title winner, holder. It's a mouthful, isn't it? Pause. Now, in general, I really like what they're doing with Okada. Him obviously joining the Elite is elite. It was a masterstroke. I've said it. I've sung its praises. Every time they're on screen together, I'm literally just, it's like, reminds me. I'm like, wow, they really done this. And boy, oh boy, it works. And I'm going to say here, they're taking the scenic route with Okada. They're not shooting him right to the top. They're maybe not going to give him the massive names right now. It very much looks to me like they are invested in building his character, which is a brilliant way to go about it, man. I think it's really, really good. Like Will Ospreay, for instance, has come in. I'm the best wrestler in the world. I want to face the best wrestlers in the world. Bang. Bryan Danielson, AEW Dynasty. Let's go. But Kazuchika Okada is just more so establishing who he is within the Elite, within the scope of AEW. He's the Elite's poster boy right now. And, you know, he's got them by his side, like I say, doing some dirty work for him at times and stuff like that. He's being a real kind of cheeky chappy. Like, he's really enjoying life in the Elite. And we're working on his character. Before, maybe we cut the strings with the Elite as well. And we let him loose on the AEW, you know, men's division, giving us Kazuchika Okada, Tokyo Dome. Kazuchika Okada, the Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada. You get me? Like, I feel like right now we're just building. Building, building, building. I still find it absolutely hilarious that even through building, we have to put a title on Okada because that is who he is. Okada carries titles. He doesn't just have his hands empty. Something has to be in his hand and it has to be a title. So they've maintained that. But him just being able to slowly build his character, now he's got a title, he's with the Elite, some of the most charismatic guys in the business, they've already took jibes at Omega, Hangman is probably due to come back at some point because he's only suspended, so we'll see what happens there. I really think this is a really cool, you know, way to build someone, especially, you know, I don't want to harp on about the whole foreigner thing, but it is going to take a bit more time to get him to maybe warm to the crowd in a way that isn't just through his in-ring work. So, yeah, kudos. Yeah, kudos to the Bucks, to Tony Khan, to Okada, everyone involved in this. I really think this is a smart thing to do. Not everyone can just be, you know, the wrestler that's on a tear. Like, we've got a Bryan Danielson right now. We've got a Will Ospreay right now. We've got other people dotted around the roster, maybe some younger guys as well that are very much in their wrestling bag and they want to show I'm a great wrestler and all of that kind of stuff. Sometimes we do just need characters, and characters can still win things, as they've proven right there with Okada. So I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to seeing the kind of matches he puts on and gets maybe incrementally more into his wrestling bag as he, you know, defends this continental title. Be very interesting to see if he goes into the Continental Crown Tournament, the Continental Classic Tournament, excuse me, as the champion, because, I mean, who's going to beat Okada? he's going to beat Okada right now. I don't know. So that might be a thing. He holds this title all the way to November, and we see him in the Classic, which could be great. I think we should see him in the Classic anyway, title or not. So, yeah. I'm stoked. I'm looking forward to this, man. I think they've really done a good job. And I would say they're really restoring or developing even. I wouldn't even say restoring, because restoring would say that it was once there and then they're bringing it back. Restoring the feeling is the whole catchphrase that's going on right now. They're doing that 100%. But I would say they're developing the trust in, you know, stars from the Far East coming in and being great TV stars as well. With Okada, which they dare not get wrong, they are definitely developing the trust. So we got to talk about him. He is the bad boy of AEW, the bad boy of All Elite Wrestling, Jack Perry. Yeah? Jungle Boy, Jungle Bizzle. Jungle Boy apparently asked for his release. Now, it seems like the timeline of things, and obviously we're going all the way back to last summer, All In, London, Wembley, I was there, it was a vibe. Yeah. Jack Perry had an altercation with a certain CM Punk backstage. We all know the story. As a result of that, CM Punk lost his job in AEW. Since then, he's returned. He's turned up in WWE. He's got injured. He's making his way back. He said he's going to be at WrestleMania. Anyway, we're talking about Jack Perry. Jack Perry has, well, he was suspended at the time, I believe, and ultimately frozen out for quite a while. And it seems like within that time, he asked for his AEW release, which, again, has only come to fruition over the past week or so. Like, no one knew that was a thing beforehand. Now, what's very interesting to me here is that Jack Perry's release was denied. Good. Yeah, good. Because you can't just run from your problems. You need to face them. Like, I understand that, you know, you wanted to do a certain thing. CM Punk said no, or whatever the case is. You maybe should have acted in a more professional way. There was no need for the sly digs at the camera and all of that kind of stuff. You know, you're not a child. You may be very young, but you're not a child. And I feel like Jack Perry should have had his release request denied. And I've been saying this for a long time, even with obviously WWE, where releases and stuff like that is a lot more prevalent. We shouldn't be getting used to people leaving and all of that kind of stuff through this method, in my opinion. If you sign a contract, you know what you have to do? You have to honor that contract. You sign a contract, you honor it. That's the point of a contract. So times can't just get tough and then you ask for your release. I believe in that instance, Tony Khan done the right thing. Maybe he wants to sort it out. The other thing that I guess came out of this was that there's been radio silence between Jack Perry and Tony Khan, which I don't know if they're communicating through other people, intermediaries, etc., etc. I don't think that's particularly good. I think that Tony Khan should be speaking to him, should be managing him, almost like, you know, mentoring him. And I know Tony Khan's only been in the wrestling business as of, you know, the last 4 or 5 years, but he's got experience in sports, managing sports teams, managing individuals. So I think that the whole radio silence thing is not good. If that's the truth, because of course we have to be very careful here with what is the truth and what isn't. If that is the truth, I don't think that's the right way to go about things. Jack Perry was denied his contract release. And guess what? I didn't see one person online say anything about it. Now, I say that to make reference to when someone in WWE asks for their contract release and they get denied. Oh, you shouldn't hold someone against their will. let them go. They don't want to be there. Blah, blah, blah. It's a prison. You're not even using them, etc., etc. Where was the same outrage? Where was the same outrage? By that standard, we should be going off at Tony Khan. You're not using him. You even sent him to New Japan. You're apparently not even talking to him. Release him. But it's one rule for one and one rule for the other, right? Listen, I'm not here to get toxic. I don't want people arguing. Like I said, you have a contract. You're meant to follow it. You're meant to abide by it. You're meant to go with everything that's in the contract. However, I want to see people be even and fair. Because if you're going to call out WWE for doing something, you better call out AEW for doing the exact same thing. If Jack Perry was released from his contract after asking, again, that's Tony Khan's prerogative. Like I said, I think you should honor contracts, but if Tony Khan was happy to let him go, then cool, let him go. That's cool. You guys agree on that? Let him go. But you're going to call out one thing, you have to call out the other thing. You have to call it out, and people didn't. Should Jack Perry have been allowed to leave AEW? Hell no. I don't think so. He's made a mistake. He's acted out of line. He hasn't acted professionally. You discipline him fairly. Like I said, I don't think the no talking thing is fairly. I don't think it's correct. But you discipline him fairly and you bring him back to TV. Jack Perry, was it Wrestle Kingdom he showed up in? January 2024, after committing this crime, causing the trouble in August 2023. I think Jack Perry has served his time. Yeah, and I don't know what they're doing. Obviously, they may have some plan between this, him cutting up his AEW contract on TV, him joining House of Torture. I don't know what the plan is. I don't mind what Jack Perry's doing over in New Japan, but I don't know what the plan is in terms of bringing him back into the fold in AEW. However, I think the punishment hasn't been fair. Maybe that was his reasoning as to why he wanted to leave. Maybe it was the radio silence, the reported radio silence between him and his boss. I don't know. But keeping Jack Perry is important because he's a big talent. He's someone that you guys have called, you know, one of the four pillars. You can't let a pillar go. The building topples down. No, you can't release one of the four pillars. So it's the right thing that they denied the request. And more so than anything, you can't run from your problems. You can't run from your issues. You can't run from things that you cause. So I believe in all of that aspect of doing the right thing. Improve, I guess, the way you guys are communicating, if that's been a thing. Punishments should be fair to the crime. I don't think all this, him being held out to dry and stuff, is fair and correct at all. But keep Jack in AEW, man. I think he's a fantastic wrestler. We need to develop his character. But he's definitely one for the future. I'm just thinking, what's there to look forward to this week? I know in the WWE, we got CM Punk back on Monday Night Raw. It's in Chicago, so of course you wheel out CM Punk. It's the done thing. You just have to do it. And I think the following week, the go-home show, Monday Night Raw, before WrestleMania, The Rock is going to be there in New York. So a couple of big names on these next few shows for the WWE. I think we definitely need to cement, obviously, a couple more matches. Like I said earlier in the podcast, Bianca Belair being in a tag match is kind of depressing to me, but it seems like it's going to be a high profile-ish tag match. So let's get it. Let's do it. I think with the Bianca Belair not being on in a singles match, should I say, it's probably annoying me more so because Tiffany Stratton's not doing anything, and I think she deserves a place. Nia Jax deserves a place as well. And yeah, there's probably a lot more other people that deserve like a showing at WrestleMania. it's kind of hard to see where they're going to fit in, to be honest. But this is why you have to work well all year round. It can't just be you working well in the last few months and get onto WrestleMania, unless your name is The Rock, of course. But yeah, a couple good things in the WWE to look forward to over the next week or so. In regards to AEW, listen, AEW are smashing it right now, if you ask me. Like, Will Ospreay says, you know, I've come here to restore the feeling. I am the feeling. Love it. Will Ospreay, yeah. He is just, the Americans, should I say, are absolutely eating him up. They love him. And I love that for him. I love that he is almost becoming this cult figure, this big British baby face when he is just, he's brilliant. I've run out of words. I've run out of superlatives to describe the great work he's doing right now. And of course, we are marching closer to Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay, which, hell, yeah, man, I'm excited for. I'm looking forward to. That's going to be great. Honestly, going to be a banger. One for the ages, as they say. So, yeah, man, it's looking good. It's looking great. Listen, I'm going to have to call it quits here and get this one sorted. This week, I need to find my Esther in my emails. My Esther's my I don't know, what do I call it? It's like the immigration thing that gets you into the country. Because I've got an Esther that should be in date, but yeah, I need to make sure I've got it so that I can get to Philadelphia, of course. So that is high on the agenda once I put out this podcast for you guys. I appreciate you guys for listening, tuning in, sharing, all of that good stuff. Of course, join the conversation, man. Join the conversation with me, WrestleManiac UK on Twitter. To be fair, it's WrestleManiac UK everywhere. WrestleManiac.uk on Instagram. But yeah, on the Twitter or on the X machine, WrestleManiac UK, let's join the conversation and tell me what you think of the podcast or any particular conversation I had today that you want to chime in on. Let's talk about it. But yeah, let's put a bow in it. Let's wrap it up. Thank you guys for tuning in to the WrestleManiac UK show. And I'll see you in the next one. WrestleManiac UK signing out. And I'll see you soon.